Our topic today is risk assessment, which in the context of a discussion about science and mathematics is obviously very important because science is the mechanism through which we have data. Science provides us with data, and mathematics gives us the information that we need to make the kind of decisions that we make. The question is, how do we, from a Torah perspective, how do we relate to this data? And this is obviously something which I'm sure some of you are thinking about during this time when we're struggling with the coronavirus pandemic, that there's a lot of data which is out there, and there are a lot of questions of risk. And the question is, how does the halacha process the information, the data, and the real-life scenarios? So, for example, you know, we're dealing with, in the coming week, please God, the celebration of Rosh Hashanah Haba Aleinu Letova. Well, how long should the davening be? Well, how about blowing the shofar? With a mask, without a mask? In the shul, out of the shul? These are all questions that involve risk assessment, because as many of you are familiar, I had conversations from the Kollel standpoint with physicians, specifically people involved in infectious disease. Well, they will tell you, well, there's nothing that is risk-free in the world. Nothing has no risk. Even staying at home has a risk. Going outside has a risk. Driving a vehicle, a car has a risk. Taking a bus, taking a plane, everything has a risk. Coronavirus adds new risks, new complications. How much time? Well, that's a risk factor. Indoors versus outdoors, another risk factor. These are all being driven by data, by scientific information that's being accrued as we speak. Trying to sift through it is a question. The question is, how do we relate to this data? So the halacha relies on scientific data, but it looks at it with a specific lens of values. And that's what we need to think about, is the interplay between the data and the values. So a way to think about this, a way to start this conversation, is a story. The story is the story of the four lepers. Any of you familiar with the story of the Arba Mitzorayim? I don't know if we can see any hands there. You can put up a little hand. The four lepers, the Arba Mitzorayim. So the tradition, although it's not clear from the Psukim, that these four lepers were Gehazi of the fame of Elisha. He was Elisha's helper. And Gehazi and his three children, the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Melachim Beis, in Perek Vav, in Perek Zion, that these four lepers were, they're anonymous, but let's assume they were Gehazi and his kids. They were standing outside of the shahr of the gate in the Shomron, and there was a terrible famine. There was a siege from the Arameans, from Machane Aram. And they made the following calculation. They said to each other, look, if we sit here at the gate, we will certainly die of starvation. But if we surrender to the Arameans, to Machane Aram, what will happen? We don't know. There's the possibility that they may kill us, and there is also the possibility that they may take us as POWs. So here you have a classic case of risk assessment, where these four lepers have to decide, do they stay here and definitely die in the next 3 days, or do they take the chance, do they take the risk of maybe somebody will give them food and let them live what we call in halacha chaye olam, in perpetuity. Obviously, no one lives in chaye olam. Nobody lives in perpetuity. But they will live beyond the momentary life that they would die in very short time from starvation, or not. So this is a question of risk. They have to assess the risk. And what do they do? Does anybody remember what actually happens to them? Anybody, I don't know if anybody's unmuted for this, but what actually happens is, anybody remember Melachim Beis? Do they leave their spot and go, or do they stay and die of starvation? What happens? You could put it in the chat. Nobody typing yet. Mrs. Karish moved out of the screen because she's worried I'm going to call on her. Right, for those who remember, they surrendered to the Arameans. Hashem Yisbarach does a miracle. The Machane Aram, those troops all evacuate, and there's tons of food. So that story, the Gemara quotes that story. It's quoted, by the way, for those who remember, as the Haftorah for Parshas Metzorah. So I remember years ago when I was studying in YU, Rav Schechter Shalita, when he gave the Parshas here for Parshas Metzorah, I think at least 1 year, he brought up this issue of halacha and risk assessment. So this is a good example of where the halacha says, you see from this story, that it is permitted to assess the risk and take a risk upon yourself of being killed immediately if it's going to have some benefit. So what we're doing here is we're taking a risk assessment. Let's say it's 50-50. Maybe the people will be killed, maybe they won't. But we're putting the value judgment of chaye olam, the potential for expanded and long-term life, as part of that equation. So the halacha decides, based on that equation, based on that risk assessment, that it's worthwhile. Another example of this kind of discussion is here in the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael is Rav Yisrael Lifshitz in the 19th century in the commentary on the Mishnah is called Yachin and Boaz. So in the end of Maseches Yuma discusses at the end the issues of perpetuating life and making sure that we expend all of our resources and energies to save people's lives, even at the cost of violating Yom Kippur and Shabbos and so on. So the Boaz here in Os Gimel, in discussing the idea of extending life, makes the following comment. Umizen Yerali, it seems to me, heter, lasos, and I'm going to write this word in the chat, and I want you to read it, and maybe could somebody unmute and tell me what exactly this word says. Aleph, Yud, Nun, Aleph, Kuf, Vav, Lamed. Aleph, Tes, Yud, Aleph, Nun. What does that word say? Can somebody unmute themselves and tell me what does that word spell in the Yachnu Boaz? Somebody want to venture a guess? Unmute yourself. I think you can. You can unmute yourselves. What does that word say? It says inculation, inoculation, inoculation. This is one of the first rabbinic references to a vaccine. He says it's mutter lasos inoculation shel pakin. What is pakin? Smallpox. You're allowed to take a smallpox vaccine, af she'echon may elef, even though 1 out of 1,000, where does he get this from? From the medical data. 1 out of 1,000 dies al yedei ha'intgulaktan, through inoculation. Nonetheless, al koponim, because if the person will get smallpox, im yishavubo ha'pakin ativian ha'sakana krova yosar, it's a much worse prognosis if the person develops smallpox without the vaccine. Therefore, it's permitted to endanger yourself to take the smallpox vaccine, even though it comes with a risk, because there is a benefit of mitigating against the future of getting smallpox. So here, the Tiferes Yisrael is taking the scientific data that they knew at that time in the 19th century, that, let's say, 1 out of 1,000 people would die from the smallpox vaccine. But he was then saying that information, if we put it into a halakhic context, is still not going to adrabba. It's going to require us to take, especially today, and this is going to become more interesting as the vaccine, hopefully, please God, will be developed soon, to take the vaccine in that context of the smallpox. A third example where we find this issue of mitigating risk is also just in general when it comes to risky types of behavior, when we think about it from an objective versus a subjective perspective, right? Science is usually interested in looking at life from an objective standard. Science has measurements and tools, and that's what the scientific method provides, is a standard, an objective standard. Great. What about the halacha? Is everything looked at from just an objective standard, or is there also something subjective which can be introduced? So we mentioned this Gemara, the discussion, the end of Maseches Yuma, where the Gemara there discusses the context of somebody who is ill and they need to, God forbid, they need to eat on Yom Kippur to make sure that they stay alive. So the Gemara expands this idea of eating on Yom Kippur even to the violation of Shabbos. And the Gemara quotes a series of drashos of potential sources for this halacha of how to know that you violate Shabbos. If, God forbid, somebody, if you yourself or somebody in your home, Rahman al-Islam, becomes seriously ill on Shabbos, you got to rush to the doctor, even if it means driving and violating every potential malacha on Shabbos. How do you know that? The Gemara has several sources, and the concluding one is, v'chai bahem, v'lo shiyamos bahem. A person should live and not die. And that v'chai bahem is going to trump almost all other commandments. Then the Gemara goes on, that's true, to tell us that mitzvah v'chai bahem is not only in a case of vadai pikuach nefesh, a certain case where a person would die, but even if it's a safek pikuach nefesh, even if it is a potential health hazard, even if it's not guaranteed that the person will die, they should take care of that medical emergency, even if it comes at the cost of observing, of violating Shabbos. Well, at what level do we start to worry? Where does the halacha draw this line? What's called something that we have to be careful about for pikuach nefesh? You know, how does that work? And then the opposite is true as well. What about something which is dangerous? If we're worried about pikuach nefesh, if we have to break Shabbos to make sure to save everybody's life, so certainly we're not allowed to take on risky behaviors. Rav Shechter Shlita points out that a person who engages in a risky behavior, which has the likelihood of diminishing their life, he talks about in terms of smoking. He says that smoking, over time, the aggregate shortens the person's life. So Rav Shechter pointed out that that's basically cumulative suicide. That's an Isser Ritzicha, because over time, science has shown that it shortens the person's life. Well, what about other risky behaviors? Everything has some risk in it. Going outside has a risk. So we can look to another area of halacha where the data is important, and this comes up in the Ramban in the beginning of Maseches Chulin, where it discusses areas of kosher, and what about particular kinds of animals that might develop simone trefa, expressions of illness that would potentially disqualify that animal. So the Ramban discusses the requirement of checking for the sirchas, the lesions on the lung of an animal, and the term which is used in halacha in this context is what we call miut hamatsui. Miut is a minority, hamatsui which is found. Miut hamatsui, a minority which is found. What is a minority which is found? Rav Shechter loves to quote from the Tshuvas Mishkanos Yaakov from Karlin. The Mishkanos Yaakov says 10%. If there's a 10% chance that your salad is going to have bugs in it, you're mechuyav, you're obligated to check it. If there is a 10% chance that this behavior is dangerous, so you have to refrain from it, et cetera, et cetera. So when it comes to assessment of risk, on one hand, we have an objective measure of 10% or a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on what your opinion is, but let's go with 10%. So we can actually quantify it from a scientific standpoint. And then we can do a test. Let's test X number of suits from a specific brand, from a specific company, from a specific manufacturer, and we'll test those. What's the risk of them having shotness? And then we can determine whether you need to check for shotness on this suit. So that's an objective way of using risk assessment, of using data. We're going to use scientific methods. But on the other hand, there's something subjective. And the Gemara has an expression, and that is called Shomer Psoim Hashem. The Pasuk says God watches over the foolhardy. The Ribbono Shel Olam keeps an eye out for us even when we do things that are unwise. Shomer Psoim Hashem, God watches the foolhardy. And that means that even things which have some level of danger, less than miyat hamatsui, we are allowed to take them on, because what Gemara has an expression, dashu bei rabim, people don't take them seriously, people do them all the time. Yes, there is a risk of flying on an airplane, and there is a risk of taking an Amtrak train, and there's a risk of driving in a car. But that risk is less than miyat hamatsui, and people, lo dashu bei rabim, people don't pay attention to it. And therefore, the halacha says that that risk, because of the subjective nature of how people treat it, is an acceptable level of risk. One more wrinkle in this discussion, and with this we'll conclude and open it for questions, is the following comment of the Chazon Ish. This Chazon Ish is found in the Pe'er Hadar in his biography, where the Chazon Ish was asked about pikuach nefesh, about life-saving situations, and how much risk is tolerable and how much is not, and how careful we have to be. So he says, even though even though we don't follow the majority, we don't follow Rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh, we have to be extra careful. Mikol makom b'dvar rechokim harbe, with things that are very far off, mipikuach nefesh, ain donen kipikuach nefesh v'toli kefi midas habitachon. It's not a function of objective data, it's subjectively defined by the person. How much bitachon do you have? How nervous are you? And that's what he explains here in the footnote. He tells this story of Rav Yosef Avram Wolf, who went to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish explained this to him about how it's subjectively defined that every person has a different personal risk tolerance. They have a different sense of how nervous they are about different activities. So as long as you're lower than the threshold of pikuach nefesh, of the miyat hamatzui, it's v'rachok ma'od, it's a very small chance, then it depends on your midah of bitachon, and that's what Rav Schechter explains, depends on how nervous you are. If you're a person who is very nervous, you're nervous even about that 0.005% chance risk, then for you, if you're not nervous, then it's taka going to be a problem. Because there's a subjective element to risk assessment in halacha, as opposed to somebody else who's more cavalier. Now, you can't be cavalier to go bungee jumping with no cord. That's suicide. That's something that's absolutely also because of guaranteed pikuach nefesh. But the halacha says that there is a subjective element when it comes to risk assessment, and that means that even though for somebody else it's going to be a problem, for you it's not going to be a problem. So to summarize, we started with the source of the four lepers, the story of these men who assessed the risk of being killed immediately or being taken captive alive by the POW. We mentioned the fact that the Tiferes Yisrael says you need to assess risk when it comes to thinking about how you go about medical decisions, about inoculation from smallpox, and that in that case, not only in the case of the Mitzrayim, are you allowed to do the risk that was maybe you would be killed 50% because you would definitely die of starvation. The case of the vaccine is different because there, you know, it's only 1 in 1,000 chance that you're going to die, but the benefit is a little bit different because you don't currently have smallpox. And then we talked about the concept of risk assessment in terms of saving lives versus risky behavior, and that this idea of miyat hamatzu, which comes from the Mishkanos Yaakov, which is based on a Talmudic calculation, and others disagree with that, but that concept of an objective standard of science telling us this is defined as risky, it's not one size fits all. There is a subjective element to risk assessment in halacha, both from a societal standpoint of Shomer Psalm Hashem, if it's something that nobody thinks is a problem, it's not risky at all for the community, so then we should consider it risky. That's why Rav Moshe Feinstein in the early years, in the 1960s, he said that smoking was permitted in those days because they said Shomer Psalm Hashem. They assumed that the risk was very small, and therefore people took on that level of risk. But today, now that we know that the risk is much greater, then we could not take on that risk. And the last point that we made was the point from the Chazon Ish that in a personal circumstance where somebody on an individual level is assessing the risk and feeling certain, you know, they're feeling certain confidence or they're feeling a certain sense of unease, that also plays into risk. So even though, yes, the halacha uses the scientific data when thinking about risk assessment, what's interesting is that in many cases, the person's own experience, their subjective attitude and feeling about it affects and impacts how they make a halachic decision. In addition to the objective factors of risk, there's also the subjective as well.